This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
All right. It is on. Yay.
We're here.
We made it.
Gene is here. Tony's here. I'm here. Pyro is here. You can't see him. He's not on camera. But I was just saying, this is the best dog. The absolute best dog. He is a golden doodle, a mid-sized dog. He is the most loving dog. And he's having his teeth done. He doesn't know it, but he's having his teeth done.
Nice. Was he getting implants? Or he's a little better?
They're going to put him to sleep, and they're going to do a little scraping and sanding and maybe pulling out anything that's bad. But his teeth are terrible.
So it's basically nothing wrong. It's just maintenance that you're doing.
Well, it's long due, overdue maintenance. Every once in a while, I'll grab him and try and brush his teeth, but he is... prone to trying to find his dog crate anytime I even say, let me brush your teeth. No! It goes.
It's going to go, sorry.
But it's time to deal with some of that. And, you know, if you were walking around with a toothache for a long time, you would not be that happy.
No.
And I don't know if he's got any toothaches, but he certainly has some tooth decay. And... he's 10 years old. It's you know, we've sent him in the past and had his teeth looked at, and one tooth was pulled because it was not in great shape. But it's the right thing to do. But he's such
a absolutely.
No one's going to go in his mouth unless he's asleep.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You got to do it.
It's been a very, very interesting week. I mean, the weather has been wonderful.
Beautiful.
I've gotten a lot done as far as tasks around the house, but I also finally, after all kinds of grief, got that MRI on my leg. Unfortunately, the MRI, as dramatic as it is, does not solve anything. It just gives the doctor the opportunity to look more closely what's causing the pain causing me to limp all of this time. But it was, even getting the MRI was a big deal, because when I originally went to the orthopedist, he said, all right, you need an MRI. Let's get an MRI. And then he said, by the way, you don't have a pacemaker, do you? I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, oh, then we have to do a CAT scan. So they got the CAT scan approved by the insurance company, and I, you know, just as a thought, I called my cardiologist and said, can I get an MRI with this pacemaker? And they said, yeah, that one is not a problem. So the bottom line was, I had to change the appointment for advanced radiology to do an MRI instead of a CAT scan, to find out that advanced radiology won't do it if we have a pacemaker. They just don't
do really?
It. So then I had to get an appointment with Stanford Hospital to do it, because they will. But then the insurance company sent me a denial saying, now I've asked for a CAT scan and an MRI. Can't have both.
Oh, man.
So I had to appeal the decision, explaining to them I wasn't going to do both. I was only trying to get an MRI, now that I found out that I could get the MRI because of the pacemaker. So then I had to wait for the appeal to go through to get the approval, driving my doctors all crazy. And finally, I got the appeal approved and the appointment at Stanford Hospital, and went there. And the people in that office, in the radiology office, could not have been nicer. I was interviewed and had to fill out papers at the front desk with Bridget and I think it was Danielle. And then I had to be walked into the MRI room, what happened is they actually brought in someone from my pacemaker company.
Wow.
Amy, who had to analyze my pacemaker, make sure it was hers, do a test on it, put it into, like, sleepy mode, and then they could do the MRI. And Dan and his assistant wheeled me in, put me in the tube, and then I got to experience for the second time in my life the beeping and booping and crazy sounds that that machine makes. I don't know if you've ever had an MRI, but it is very noisy. They give you earplugs and stuff, but very noisy. And
science, it's like science fiction sound.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it, the noises it makes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it sounds like a machine gun. Sometimes it's just like out of space. And I had to be in there for a half hour. I understand some people are in there for like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Gee.
Not my favorite position, but at least my head wasn't in there.
Yeah.
So we got that done, and I asked for a CD of it. So I have a CD of my leg being looked at. Unfortunately, I'm not able to really read it and understand it, so I got to go back to Dr. Hughes and have him read this thing and tell me what's actually wrong with my leg. But thank goodness that's over with.
And how long is it going to take till you get the results of his, his looking at it?
They sent it to him, yeah.
So you haven't gotten any results yet, is that what you're saying?
Well, I haven't heard what the meaningfulness of it is.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that's moving along.
Good.
And chickens have been moved out to the coop for the chicks.
Oh, so now they're on the veranda for the rest
of the
summer.
They're no longer in the front foyer. They're now in the coop.
Yeah.
So now there's 22 birds out there.
Wow.
And, of course, we can't mix the little ones with the big ones, so they're each in separate enclosures. So it's really good that I built that second enclosure. And they seem happy. They're just in a much nicer situation now with perches that they can jump up on and sleep on and stuff like that. And so that's worked out nicely. And we just dismantled the one that was in the foyer, but my wife is cleaning the foyer. Amount of dust and
feathers and everything.
How dirty that area got.
Yeah, yeah.
And she spent quite a bit of time cleaning yesterday, and she's going to continue today. Happy birthday to Arthur Gladstone. Yesterday was his birthday, and we had a Zoom meeting last night at 7:30.
Oh, happy birthday.
I think that everybody enjoyed that Zoom meeting except for Arthur Gladstone, who was having some health problem. But 93 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Doing good.
Good. That's great. That's great.
The stuff that I've been doing around the house has been, well, some of it had to do with the chickens, with taking apart Jamie actually used my drill and the Torx head and actually took apart the enclosure that we had for the chicks, and Sandy was cleaning all that stuff. I had built an addition on it. I think I talked about it last week. I put an addition on for lack of a better description, it was a whelping box that I built that could have been for having a dog having puppies. That was about 4x4, and I had to put another addition on it because the birds just keep getting bigger and bigger, and we were afraid there wouldn't be enough room for them, so I cut a hole in the side of the box and put an addition on it, and they were running from one side to the other, but that worked out pretty well, and I've taken it apart, so now I can use it the next time we decide to do this kind of craziness, if indeed we do it another time. But we've got the outside shed enclosure and the outside enclosure, so we're in pretty good shape as far as this goes.
So is that pretty much it? Now it's just maintenance of the coops and all that kind of thing? Or is this?
Yeah, but, you know, most people that have taken on growing chickens don't realize how much work it is.
Yeah, sure.
The cleanup alone is terrible. The birds poop everywhere. Birds don't have very much control, and they just poop everywhere. And so
they don't care. That's what it is. It's not control. They don't care.
They're not potty trained, and the diapers are really hard to get on them. So the
And there's a shortage.
You've got to clean the bedding on a regular basis, and you've got to feed them, and they're very sloppy feeders. You know, they scratch. So they'll scratch the stuff on the floor. They'll knock over the feeders. They'll if you're not careful, they'll knock the water over. And you're constantly looking to make sure that the temperatures are right in there. You don't want it too cold. You don't want it too hot. And you don't want it too wet. And, you know, it's you've got an aviary. You know, an aviary.
Aviary.
I can't say it. Forgive me.
That's all right.
Unique New York. The bottom line that Sandy is running around doing all this stuff, and we're constantly ordering feed and replenishing stuff and trying to make things easier, and we've spent a fortune on it. They're the most expensive eggs that anybody could ever ask for. If she wasn't having fun, this would be totally crazy. So if you're even contemplating it as an addition to your home, people that are listening, be very careful with this. It's easier to have monkeys, I think, sometimes.
You know, you should write it. You should write a book, you know, What to Expect.
another book.
Yes, you need to do, you know, here's a diagram. Don't do this, but do this.
Well, you know, I built feeders, I built watering things, and all of them were a fiasco. We finally just went out and bought plastic ones. But, you know, it's $30 here, it's $50 there,
yeah,
$75
sure.
here. You keep spending money. And you know, to make the try and keep the coop as clean as possible, I put down vinyl flooring underneath the hay and the shredded iron that we put down, the shavings and stuff like that. And so David Baker did the flooring in the coop. And I had to buy these enclosures from England that, because we were afraid that hawks would come flying in and grab the chickens. So it's complicated.
It would have been cheaper for you to just have another kid. You know, look at all the work you're doing.
Well, I got to send kids to college. I still got grandkids that have to go to college, you know.
Yeah.
That might tax me a little bit more to have another kid.
well, maybe.
But I saw all my kids last night, so that was nice, too. Everybody was on the Zoom call. Mark was in Hawaii, believe it or not. And he was in a restaurant, so he was on mute and not talking to us. But he's been vacationing in Hawaii.
Oh, how nice.
Which is very nice, because I've never been there.
Oh, it's gorgeous, yeah.
But it's nice that he was able to go there, and Kendall was down the street in her house, and Lincoln was playing in the background, and Jamie and Matt were both on. Jamie was here at the house, and Matt was in Greenwich, so that was good. And cousins and sisters, my sisters were all on it. So, you know, Zoom is really a good idea. I like Zoom. You know, being able to touch base with people is something that helps with this pandemic big time.
Yes, absolutely.
Being able to...
Perfect timing.
It really came out of necessity. I mean, there were go-to-webinar and several different meeting-type things, but Zoom, in their brilliance, gave you an hour for free. And
is that what it is? I didn't know that. Yeah.
I think it's like 40 minutes or an hour, but they give it to you for free with the hope that you will subscribe and pay a fee for longer meetings. And many people have bought extended times because that 40 minutes goes by very quickly.
Yeah, sure.
what a brilliant, wonderful move on their part, because everyone's been using it.
Whatever happened with, what was it, Skype? That was like the first one, wasn't it? And then it kind of
still
like,
there, but Skype,
is it, are they really?
Skype is more used, I believe, on cell phones than anything else.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
But the, I could be wrong, but the, the thing is, to be able to bring it up on your computer and be able to see, you know, my Friday meetings, I'm able to see like 20 people at a time. Usually there's two pages of the view. You see everybody, but whoever's talking at that time comes up on the screen that you're looking at.
Right.
And it's really good to be able to see expressions and see if people are fooling around or they're serious or whatever. That's, you know, that's the thing that we miss in the emails and the text,
right,
the emotion. And, you know, sometimes you want something to be cold and not filled with emotion, but a lot of times you really want to see people's expression. And even now with everybody wearing masks, it's very hard to know what somebody, you know, I took my mask off the other day and someone said, wow, I didn't know you had a mustache.
Yeah.
A little different, and it's, and we express ourselves with our expressions. That's why they're called that. And so someone smiling or someone frowning or someone looking sad or looking angry, it makes a big difference. It's hard to get that just by looking at someone's forehead and their eyes. So we're in a different world right now.
Yeah, we are.
One that everybody wants to escape from.
I mean, you think about it, you know, they were doing that kind of a thing like back on Star Trek era, you know?
Well, something we used to look at people in from Japan when they were on the subways wearing masks. And we said, why would they need to do that? And here, you don't dare walk. I walked into a store the other day. I forgot the mask. I felt really uncomfortable.
I went into a store about a week ago, and to get some extra keys made, and there were, you know, it was a two-door thing. You have to go through one, then you have to go through another, which was where it was set up anyway.
Yeah.
And before I could step into the main part, the guy says, "Where's your mask?" And I said, "Oh, geez," and I had it in the car, just forgot to put it on. So he didn't want me in there unless I had a mask on. I mean, you know,
keeping it in my back pocket just for that kind of situation, because I just don't think about it all the time. I've had
had
the vaccination, so I'm not really worried about it at this point. But, you know, in fairness, just about everywhere you go, it's a mask is required. So
right,
I'm carrying
right.
one at all times now, so that if that happens, I can grab it out of my pocket and say, sorry.
Yes. It's, now, that's what you use the glove compartment for. That's what I use it for, one of the things, you know.
Good.
I got a couple in there, just in case I forget to bring one out of the house.
I have one in every vehicle, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or multiple. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we've got a bunch of things to get into today, so stay with us.
If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. Gutter Guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, you know, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, "Oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house." And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow, or hail or any other form of water. You need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house, and they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346. And they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call, Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House.
And now back to Around the House with Steve Gladstone.
All right, we're back, and with the good weather, and we're going to get rain today, so if you...
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You know, one of the things I'm noticing is that the grass is greening up, and
the smell in the air is great.
My guys came in and put down fertilizer on the grass, so the timing is probably perfect. If it rains a little bit later in the day, it's going to green up my grass even more. I've got a couple of areas that really need topsoil. I hope that they'll bring in some topsoil at some point. And where I cut down trees, they haven't really gotten good grass in those areas. But they put down fertilizer on Thursday, and hoping that's going to help. The yard looks good, though, because they did a big cleanup and got rid of a lot of stuff. And I've been picking up twigs and stuff in my many dump trips. I've done three dump trips. I went outside, and this is something that I would really recommend that parents do, is if you've got an outdoor recreational swing set for your kids, get out there and look at it every once in a while. Because my grandson was playing on the swings the other day and going up and down the slide, and just on a lark, I went over and took a look at it, and I realized that a good deal of it was rotted and in very bad shape, and in such bad shape that it was really unsafe, and I took it down. I ended up making two dump trips going to the recycling center and the scale house, because it was so rotted that if he had been jumping up on the platform, you know, there was a little fort-type thing up on top.
Right, sure.
The wood was rotted right through.
Wow.
The railings, when I pushed against the railings around the enclosure, they all started to fall off. I had no idea it was so bad. And I had rebuilt that about 2 years ago out of cedar. So down it came. And when my other grandson came up to go on the swings yesterday, they found that there was no swings there. So we've ordered a new swing set and a sandbox, and that stuff's coming, and that's going to be a project to put together. We probably should film that adventure.
yeah, really?
I remember the last time I did that. You know, I did one at my first house. I ended up with the worst sunburn because I built the thing wearing a sneakers and a bathing suit. I ended up getting like almost second degree burns on my back.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. I had blisters on my back from the sun. I was bent over putting this thing together forever.
Yeah. But, you don't think about it until afterwards.
Yeah,
then
well,
you feel
I
the heat.
That mistake again, believe me.
Yeah, sure.
I have stayed out of the sun ever since.
Yeah. I'm not out there either in the sun.
You know,
as much as I like being outdoors, I just don't want to be in the sun.
I am not interested. Those of you that can see me on Facebook, not interested in getting a tan.
Yeah.
Not interested in skin cancer. I'm not interested in any of that stuff. anytime I do stuff outside, I'm very careful. But we're going to have to build that swing set. And the question is, where are we going to build it? Where are we going to put it? Because I don't think I want to put it in the same location. So we're going to have to...
Why was the location, the location, what was wrong with that one?
I want to put it in Hawaii so I can
visit. Well, there you go.
Yeah. It was just not a great, it was a secondary choice because I had put a swimming pool where the old swing set used to be.
Mm.
And, you know, now we're talking about maybe putting another shed over there. If I put a shed over there, I don't want the swing set where the shed is. So I don't know yet. I haven't made a decision. We'll figure it out. They don't take up that much room, but you know, I also like to be able to see what's going on and where it is right now. I can't really see it if the kids are on it.
Yeah. Well, more safety. Good thing you did that.
I couldn't believe how rotted it was. I had no idea.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I went out and I got a hammer, I got a hammer out of the shop, and I went out there and I just cut it all up because I wasn't going to take a chance with them. You know, a new swing set is around $1,600-1,700 plus putting it together, and it's not worth it. Spend that on hospital bills in a second.
Yeah, no kidding. But well, that was a stroke of luck.
And these kids are not going to tell you that something's rotten.
Right.
They're just going to fall off one day or fall through it.
Mm.
So, too bad.
Yeah, it'll turn out. It turned out for the best.
I hope it'll turn out for the best.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she's going to get something, you know, whatever she ordered is going to be very complicated. And we'll deal with it. So I've got an interesting situation here. I've got an egress from my neighbor next door to drive through my property to go to his house. And so I have to always worry about traffic coming in here when
yeah.
the kids are running around, the grandkids are playing. Because if they're shooting baskets or they're throwing a ball and somebody comes in and drives in too fast, I don't want anybody to get hurt. When I had the pool up, I had a fence around it. So they couldn't leave the pool area without opening a gate and being careful. But I took all that fencing down when we took the pool out.
Well, good move. It was just something that just said to you, let's go check that.
Yes.
Wow.
So my advice is if you have a swing set, go out there every once in a while with a wrench or a set of sockets, and make sure things are tight, make sure that things are not rotting, make sure that things aren't loose. Take some sandpaper if you've got a wood swing set and sand some things. You know, years ago, my father and I built a fire engine, a pressure-treated replica of an antique fire engine, and we built it as a climb-on. So you can sit on the seats, and you can ring a bell, and you can climb on top of it, or you can hang on the ladders on the side, or whatever. And every year I go out, and I make sure that the nails haven't popped out, and I make sure that there aren't a lot of rough edges, because the kids climb all over it.
And splinters and everything else, oh, God. Yeah.
So, you know, and I've replaced pieces that have deteriorated, and gotten some ideas about how to make things a little bit nicer and fix those. But every once in a while, a piece breaks off or the lawn guys bump into it and knock a piece off, and I've got to go out there and reset it. So it keeps getting better and better rather than worse and worse. But the importance of checking your recreational stuff, it's like if you're a parent and you have a trampoline, first of all, you should really be thinking twice, why do I have a trampoline? And if you don't have rules like only one kid at a time on there, you're really flirting with hospital bills. Because what I found when we had a trampoline is that multiple kids will get in there and they will bang their heads together. They'll land on each other. They will hurt each other. And those are probably one of the most dangerous things that you could put on your property, other than a swimming pool.
Even the ones with, you see the trampolines, they're enclosed. They've got a mesh over it so the kids can jump around. I think it's still dangerous.
Mesh keeps you from falling off.
Right.
Unless the mesh is old and it rips. But mesh made it a lot safer. But what do kids do on a trampoline? As soon as they can gain some height, they're going to start doing flips. And that's where you get into trouble. And if there's two kids in there jumping around, they're going to be bumping into each other. And I just think that, it's a very dangerous toy. And we've even seen some that are, they dig a hole in the ground and then put the trampoline on ground height.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've seen that.
There's no enclosure around that. And that's always very interesting. I don't know. I'm very leery of them.
It's still dangerous.
Whether or not we should be doing something like that.
Yeah, it's still dangerous, even if it's ground level.
Yeah.
You go off at an angle and
land on the ground.
Yeah, sure.
It's like the diving boards that we had on the pools forever.
Yeah.
It was never the kids that got hurt. It was always the adults who had two beers that jumped and didn't realize how deep it was or hit the sides. Or
how slippery the board was.
Wasn't hit their head on the board.
Yeah, sure.
What was it, the Olympics, where Greg Louganis hit his head on the board doing a backflip?
Yeah, I think that's what it was, yeah.
That's right. We do such silly things sometimes. I worry when I'm doing a pool inspection about the diving rock. But if they've got a gold-style diving board that was a fairly long board, people will take three, running steps, jump on it, and take off. If a pool is designed properly, it has the right depth. But if somebody is not good at diving, they could get hurt. And that's why most of the pools now that we see don't have diving boards.
That's right.
Because diving board companies have been sued out of existence because people have gotten paralyzed.
And it wasn't a flaw of the company. It was just mostly the stupidity of people using the diving board.
There were some diving boards that actually broke or became loose, and there was some legitimacy to some of that stuff. But most of it was just people that were
self-inflicted,
doing activities that they shouldn't have been doing.
Right.
And got to blame someone, so you blame the company that made the diving board.
But it sure was fun, I got to tell you.
You like to dive?
I like to dive and do crazy stuff in the midair and hopefully land in the water,
But there you are.
Yep.
See, I never liked doing that. I'm not the guy who jumps off the cliff into the... It looks like it's deep enough to dive into.
Yeah, well, there was places I went to, it was quote-unquote safe, made for diving, Wasn't like, just in that 4-foot depth and you hit your head. No, it was, they had it set up that way. But it was great fun, but it's just too much liability these days. Everybody's suing. So that was the end of that. I wonder if they even have it on the cruise ships. I always see them when, there's a swimming pool on the cruise ships. I never really noticed if there's a diving board or not. Have to ask Renee.
I'm sure Renee knows.
The
thing with the cruise ships is, I was on a cruise ship, a Thanksgiving cruise going down to the Caribbean, and we hit some very violent water. And the water in the pool, they immediately put a net over the pool, wouldn't let anybody in the pool, but the water in the pool was going from one side of the pool to the other.
Wow.
They told us that they had those outriggers on that ship to try and slow the rolling and the pitch of the ship. But when you stood on deck and you watched what was going on with the activities, it was scary. We had Thanksgiving dinner in the main dining hall. I had to leave because everything on the table was just going left and right. it was making me seasick.
Well, that's really some ride you had there.
It was an uncomfortable day.
Man.
That was an uncomfortable day. The cool thing about that cruise was we left New York. It was freezing. Okay?
Yeah.
And got to the Caribbean, and it was warm and beautiful. And then we came back, and as we're coming back, the temperature kept dropping as we got closer and closer to New York.
Sure.
The revelation that I had with that trip was what? It was a fun Thanksgiving. It was very different. But the revelation that I had was never park your car at the pier. Because when we got the $300 bill for parking for being away for 10 days.
Oh, man.
And that's probably not even that expensive at this point. That was years ago. But the accrual of money for being parked at the cruise ship thing was something nobody even talked about. We should have taken a taxi or gotten dropped off by someone and
yeah.
got picked up. Cruising is really interesting. My wife is not thrilled with the idea of being on a big cruise ship anymore. And one of her
reasons is that why?
One of her reasons is that there's too much food.
Ah.
There's too much to attract her that she has to say no to. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Where I could just go to that ice cream bar all day long.
Oh, man, I'd be there. I'd see you there.
You know, I'm not really a big dessert guy except for ice cream. But that was very interesting to, you know, 24 hours a day with the cruise ships, you could be eating. And she found that not to be a wonderful thing for her. What we did as a means of exercise is we would always walk, and we would always use the stairs, not the elevators.
Right.
But the temptation when there's constant food was, like having a refrigerator that you could open at any time, and there was always something different and cool to have, you know.
And it was always stocked.
Yeah. Now, there are people who actually live on the cruise ships that will take a long-term lease on a stateroom, and they'll just cruise all the time, retired people.
Yeah.
It's less than some of these convalescent homes.
I mean, they go on, you know, six-month tours, you know, a year, whatever. It's like, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, and you have to be a free spirit. You have to not be worrying about family or responsibilities or mortgages and other things.
Right.
Like that. But the idea of a 45-day trip going country to country to country is intriguing. First of all, for those of you that are concerned that I'm anti-cruise, I'm not. But I really, really encourage people, if you have an opportunity to go on AMA or Viking, do a river cruise. What a wonderful experience we had with the river cruise.
See, I would love to do that.
Well,
that would be great.
Don't hesitate. Take your daughter and go on a trip. We're going to do it again in either 2022 or 23. We have never been treated as nicely, and there were only about 188 people on the boat with staff, and we were treated so nicely, and the tours and the stops were very, very interesting, and living on the boat, great. It was very comfortable. But try and get an upgrade so you're in a better room. Try and not be below the waterline. Small boats, there's a tremendous difference than a boat that has 4,000 people.
Oh,
and I'm not interested in go-karting on the boat. You know, that's a whole other thing. That's
yeah.
a kid's thing. You know, we did one tour, one cruise on Holland America. And that was an predominantly adult trip, and it made a world of difference. I mean, it wasn't like everybody was in the, you know, On the first one we went on, the kids were in the arcade almost the whole time. You know? And it was more trying to keep the kids entertained in the kids' club than anything else, where the Holland America was adult activities and, you know, a lot of fun things and shows and stuff like that, but it was more adult-oriented. So you probably have to be very careful when you're booking tours. That's why, you know, having Renee as a friend, what's the name of her company?
Great Explorations or something, isn't it?
Great Expectations? Great Explorations?
No, I think it's Explorations, I think.
Great Explorations. But Renee makes it special. You know, when we went to Italy, I don't think anyone ever dreamed that we'd be staying in this crazy hotel with these themed rooms. We had a great time. And when you go and you're not using a travel agent, very often you find that the hotel that you've got planned, when we went to Greece, it was a planned trip by someone else. And they sent us to a hotel where there had been several robberies. And the hotel was actually redirected us to another hotel because they didn't know what to do about the robberies.
Wow.
We weren't even staying at the place that we had read up on, that we didn't even know about the robberies. But
jeez.
And we ended up in a place that, on one of the islands, that was such a maze to get to. I had to take pictures of the roadway, of the they weren't really roads because it was very narrow I think it was Santorini that we were in, that I had to take pictures of how to get to the hotel so that I would be able to follow the path. No,
jeez.
Yeah, it was crazy because it was so complicated. And we were dropped off by a taxi driver at the wrong place, and we had to, you know, really insane, stupid
nightmare.
Things. But Renee took care of us on every aspect of it when we were in on our trip to the Galapagos. There wasn't a moment where we weren't, you know, we didn't have transportation, or we didn't have an activity, or we didn't have something that was going on for dinner. It was the best.
You know, it's funny, if you have a job like Renee has, which is a great job, no question, but it's, you don't relax in doing that, you know, as somebody like her, because you got to keep your eye on everything. And so, you know, it's just, you don't get any relaxation out of it, but that's her job.
Well,
and she loves it, and she has a great time with
that's
it.
You know, it's like there are aspects of my home inspection business that are just fun. And,
yeah.
You know, when I'm crabbing and complaining, I have to remind myself how lucky I am that's the business that I went into. It's fun to teach. It's fun to talk with some of my clients and it's fun to train these guys and women work for me. And you know, Renee is very lucky because she goes on these tours all the time and she has these tastings. There are a lot of benefits to being in charge of the tour. There's no doubt about it.
No, I'm sure. Yeah.
She's a detailed person, and so she says, "Well, what are we going to do on the third day? What kind of outing are we going to do? What kind of hotel upgrades can we get to take care of my people and have them feel special? What can we put in their rooms so that when they come back from a day trip, there's a basket of fruit or a piece of chocolate?" It's the little extras that make all the difference.
Yep.
In feeling good. We were on the Viking River cruise. Every time we walked into the dining room, the maitre d' would say, "How are you, Mr. Gladstone? What can I get for you? I understand that even though tonight's meal is steak and Sandy's going to have steak, what would you like? Because I know that you don't eat steak." You know, the fact that they knew who I was and that they were catering to my needs made it very special. So,
and that's as it should be. That's great. Sure.
What a brilliant company those two companies are. They really... My parents have done on a bunch of AMAs. And, you know, it's just, it's care. And it's, you know, it's the difference between doing a fast food restaurant and a fancy steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Treat it nicely. And sure, it costs money, but it's delightful to have a trip, come back from a trip and just have wonderful memories of that trip.
Because you hear such horror stories from people who go on various trips, and it's like pay the extra money and be comfortable and safe and happy, and you don't really have to do anything.
Well, even when things are planned, some bad things can happen. When we were
of course, sure.
We were in Italy. We were on a Trafalgar tour, and the guides were wonderful, and the places that we went were wonderful, but somebody got sick on the tour and got everybody else sick, where almost every person on the tour had one terrible night where they were sick as dogs and couldn't get out of bed, or they fainted, or they had fever, or whatever. It went through us one by one by one by one.
Was it food poisoning or something?
We don't know. Don't know. And what happened was Trafalgar went out of their way to sanitize everything. I mean, it was almost like what we're going through now. Everybody
right.
had to use hand
yeah.
sanitizer. The buses were sanitized every day before we went out there. They were very careful with our food and everything, trying to solve what was going on. But each day, a different person ended up getting sick. And it was like a 24-hour virus, and then it was gone. We all went through it.
Well, no.
All right.
Break time.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this Alka-Seltzer moment.
If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes. Right after the radio show, I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class, so 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776.
Here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
All right, we're back. Thanks, Linda. All right, so we've only got a couple of minutes before the news and weather, so we've been talking about a bunch of different things, but in the second part of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about some house maintenance things that you'll stay with us. The week has been such pleasant weather that I've been doing a lot of things outside as far as cleaning and moving things around and fixing things. And hopefully this week we're going to put that second gate operator on the right side of the circle, which we never had before, but we're going to do that. And I fixed one of the cameras that was out there. But I've been waiting for warm weather to rewire all of the cameras that we've got around the house, because I want to put better security cameras up. And that's going to require crawling through crawl spaces, and I just didn't want to do it while it was cold and wet.
Yeah.
Stapling the wires to the outside of the house in places. And some of them are going to be wireless, but a good deal of them are going to be add six wires, so it's going to make a big difference as far as picture quality.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would have thought everything would be, you know, digital, and you didn't need a lot of wiring and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it is. It's all going to be digital. It's not going to be analog. The analog cameras are okay, but the quality of the picture is just not as good. And also, you can get cameras now that can pan and tilt and zoom in.
If you want them.
All right, so we're going to leave you for a couple of minutes for the news and weather, and we hope that you'll stay with us.
And call in.
If you want to call in, you can call in at 661-5051, 203-661-5051. Wait till the news is over, and then give us a call and chat with us.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Two Republican congressmen under investigation. The House Ethics Committee announcing Friday it's investigating New York's Tom Reed and Florida's Matt Gaetz. The New York Times reporting Gaetz is under federal investigation for sex trafficking and other allegations. Speaking in Florida, Trump Doral, Gaetz promises he won't back down.
I have not yet begun to fight for the country I love and for the nation that I know benefits from America First principles. I'm built for the battle, and I'm not going anywhere.
As for Reed, he's accused of sexually harassing a female lobbyist 4 years ago. He has apologized and says he won't seek re-election. Myanmar's military rulers announcing plans to hold elections in 2 years. Meanwhile, more violence between the military and protesters. There are reports that at least 10 people were killed Friday. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer being urged to retire. The liberal advocacy group Demand Justice launching an effort Friday to publicly pressure the 82-year-old to step down so President Biden can nominate a black woman. This is USA Radio News.
Could an ancient mystery be determining the events of our time? Could it reveal the secret of our future? Are recent events a warning that we are approaching judgment? How much time do we have left? Author Jonathan Cahn releases the book that reveals what could not be revealed until now. His newest New York Times bestseller, The Harbinger 2, The Return, embark on an epic journey to uncover the mysteries and revelations that are changing the world and will change your life. Available online and wherever fine books are sold.
The MyPillow Premium Pillow Special continues at MyPillow.com. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You can get a standard or queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. That's a $40 savings. King-size, only $5 more. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Religious liberty advocates claiming victory. The Supreme Court late Friday night rules 5-4 in favor of Bible study groups who claimed California's COVID restrictions violated their rights. More problems reported with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Georgia on Friday stops administering the vaccine after 8 people report side effects. The CDC investigating. USC professor of medicine David Agus telling ABC News we shouldn't overreact.
The current vaccines that are out there in the public work against all of the variants. The American public should rest assured that science is pivoting along with our knowledge to be able to take care of this. And the benefits of the vaccine tremendously outweigh any potential downside.
The CDC investigating similar issues in Iowa, Colorado, and North Carolina. Scientists alarmed by the number of dead whales washing up on the shores of the San Francisco Bay Area recently. The bodies of 4 gray whales found in 9 days, the latest on Thursday. One whale hit by a ship. Investigators looking into the other 3 deaths. This is USA Radio News.
Working from home? I'm Chad Dodd, veterinarian and consultant to Limp Bells. Here's some tips for keeping your dog fit while staying at home. Find 15 minutes twice a day and walk your pet at a decent pace around your place. Play hide-and-seek by hiding some kibble or favorite toys and letting your dog find them. If you have stairs and your dog is mobile, walk up and down twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes. Or better yet, try a power walk on your terrace or backyard for some fresh air. There are more helpful pet care tips at YouMove.com, spelled YouMove.com.
Jurors in the Derek Chauvin murder trial hearing from the man who ruled George Floyd's death a homicide. Hennepin County Chief Medical Examiner Dr. David Baker testifying Friday in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer, explaining why he ruled Floyd's death a homicide.
As a medical examiner, we applied the term homicide when the actions of other people were involved in an individual's death. In my opinion, the law enforcement subdual restraint and the neck compression was just more than Mr. Floyd could take.
Under cross-examination, Baker says Floyd's pre-existing medical conditions, including heart disease, played a role in his death, but Baker says they were not a direct cause. Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, passing away at age 99. Here's Wendy King.
The Duke of Edinburgh died after spending weeks in London hospitals and undergoing an unspecified heart procedure on March 4th for a pre-existing condition. In a statement, Buckingham Palace said, "It is with deep sorrow that Her Majesty the Queen announces the death of her beloved husband, His Royal Highness Prince Philip." Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he was the longest-serving consort in history and one of the last surviving people in this country to have served in the Second World War. In a statement, President Biden said, "On behalf of all the people of the United States, we send our deepest condolences to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, the entire royal family, and all of the people of the United Kingdom." From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Becoming partly sunny for the day today with highs around 60 degrees. Considerable cloudiness tonight with showers developing towards morning. Some patchy fog as well, 50 to 55. Occasional showers through the day tomorrow, 55 to 60. Considerable cloudiness on Monday with scattered showers. Highs near 55. Becoming mostly sunny on Tuesday with highs right around 60. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
We're back, and if you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051, 203-661-5051. If you want to join us on Facebook, we're on Stephen Gladstone, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Gladstone, on my page, on the public page. You're welcome to jump in. We've got Nalki and Jamie and Joe Raynone Jr. Are listening there, and some other people are ghosting me. We have a question from Gene.
Yes, thank you. You know, I have a I'm living in a condo with my daughter, and it's smaller than where we were previously. And we have an attic, which is nice size for storing stuff.
Okay.
My problem is I don't like those kinds of ladders that unfold from the ceiling down. You know, you pull down the cord and the ladder unfolds for you. Because I want to utilize that space in the attic. But going up and down that steep ladder, and I just don't like those ladders. I don't want to kill myself or even get hurt at any point in this and still get the stuff up into the attic, you know, boxes. And how do I conquer that problem?
Well, first of all, the steepness of the ladder is often affected by the fact that many people, when they have those installed, do not cut the bottom of the legs of the ladder to be even with the floor, or the length of the ladder is too long for the dimensions of the floor to ceiling. And so many times when you unfold that ladder, it's not locking into place properly so that the pitch is correct and that it is sturdy. A lot of times if you take a piece of a book or a block of wood or something, and you lay it on the floor and you actually make a straight line when the ladder is unfolded, you can figure out how off it is in order to figure out whether or not you should cut a little bit off of those legs to make it more sturdy and lock into place. But each of those hinge places should be tight against each other, and then the ladder doesn't move when it's unfolded and sitting straight. Another thing that you can do if it's scratching the floor is you can staple a piece of carpet to the bottom of each side of the leg so that it's not going to scratch the floor, and also it helps to pad the bottom of that ladder a little bit. Now, if you just don't like climbing ladders, that's a problem, because probably the pull-down is about the safest way of getting up in there, as long as a couple of things are taken into consideration. One is the length correct? Is it locking into place? Two is the hardware on the pull down tight? And a lot of times over time, because of the heat changes and other things, a lot of those screws and nuts come loose and the whole thing becomes very wobbly and feels unsafe, which would make you a little bit more concerned if you're not into, you know, climbing ladders, that it would be scary.
I don't have a problem with getting on a ladder. It's just I need to bring up some boxes.
I understand. I was going to get to that next.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the things that you can do is you can bring the boxes up to the foot of the pull down.
Yeah.
And you can go up about 3 or 4 steps, turn around backwards so that your back is against the staircase, and have your daughter hand you the packages, and then you can raise your arms up and put them on the floor and slide them to the position that you can. So it's a two-person job.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit easier, especially if you're lifting heavier boxes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Whoever's still steadiest on the ladder should be the person on the ladder.
Okay.
But that's a much better way of dealing with it. Also,
oh, that's great.
Most of these pull downs have a handrail on one side of them.
Right,
but
they do.
But it's
a
rather flimsy one. So you want to make sure that that's nice and tight and not moving around. And they
okay.
all have springs that you have to be careful that the springs are not going to reach out and bite you.
Yeah.
So I often recommend to people just turn a little bit to the side as you're climbing up and down so that you're not bumping your elbow or your pants into the spring, because most of these pull-downs were designed to go in between the joists, and so they're not as wide as a 3-foot staircase. They're usually about 24 or 28 inches in width. So just a couple of keys to operating with them. But the best type of pull-down is the aluminum one, because it's a much stronger, much more comforting feeling ladder when you're going up. And believe it or not, the aluminum ladder, if you were going out and buying a pull-down, is not that much more expensive than the wood ones. But they're much sturdier, and if you're going to have someone install a pull-down in your going up to your attic, try and spend the extra money and buy the aluminum ladder instead of the wood ladder.
Hey, well, I've never even seen one of those.
Yeah. Well, if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you'll see that there's a variety of sizes and shapes and lengths, and some of them are extendable, and there are some European ones that are really quite cool that fold down and are a little bit different, but they're all made for occasional use, climbing up into a place that you're not going to go that often.
Right.
And they're not going to be like having a full-blown staircase. So
right,
you've got to be
exactly
very careful
that.
On it. But I would say if you're going to be loading up things that with boxes, turn it into a two-person job.
Yeah.
And don't overload the boxes. And also, don't put things on the insulation.
Right.
Put your items on the plywood or on something that is resting across a bunch of joists, like a strip of plywood that... See, I always recommend using a screw gun and screwing the plywood down to the flooring if there's just insulation up there, because you don't want to compress the insulation. Insulation that's compressed takes away from the R value, the resistance value, and will increase your energy bills if you're paying for your heat and your cooling. So you don't want to compress the insulation. And in places where you're not installing things, Gene, where you're not storing things, you may even want to buy some rolls of insulation without any vapor barrier and unroll them in those places, and you'll get even better savings for your heat if you're paying for your heat. But even if you're not, you're going to eliminate a lot of draftiness and heat loss going up into the attic space.
I'm lucky because I've only been up there once. I peeked up there once, and the floor was they had a lot of it was covered
plywood.
They had plywood, and so there was plenty of it was done so people could store stuff there.
Okay,
you know,
another question though.
Sure.
When you went up there,
mm-hmm.
was it just above your unit, or was it other people's units as well?
I'm not sure I understand. There's people who live below us.
Is there access to the attic from other units?
No.
Okay, because that's one of the considerations that a lot of people have to think about. Because if it's a shared attic space, and many condominiums will have four or five condominiums in a row without any fire blocking between their units in the attic. And in that case, someone else's pull-down staircase could lead up to someone looking at your stuff.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember seeing any other access.
Well, then the access should only be the size of your unit.
Yeah.
Okay? And from a security point of view, that's kind of important, because let's say in a bad situation, someone broke into your next-door neighbor's unit. If they had a pull-down staircase, they could climb up into the attic, come over to your pull-down, put some weight on that ladder and flip it down, and come into your unit.
Yeah.
So you want to just make sure that that isn't a possibility before you start putting your stuff up there. or, you know, you could lock every door in your unit, but if somebody could come
right
through the ceiling, that's
I will double check that, because I only, like I said, was only up there once, but I will double check that. I never even thought about that, so that's great.
The other thing to think about is the plywood fastened down? Because many times if you step on the edge of a piece of plywood, that whole sheet of plywood can come lifting up and you could go flying if they aren't fastened to the floor joists, the ceiling joists. But you want to make sure that what you're standing on is secure.
Yes.
And if it's not, then you want to make sure that that there are a couple of screws going into the plywood that are going to hold it. But you don't want to use nails, because if you start hammering up there, what do you think is going to happen to your ceiling down below?
Yeah. Going to be a snow day.
Now, along those lines, I was in an attic a couple of weeks ago, and I moved a box off to one side, not realizing that there was no floor where the box was.
Oh,
and
boy.
I foolishly stepped in that area and actually cracked the ceiling in the hallway of the house that we were inspecting. So I left a note for the owner, don't worry, I will send someone over to come over and fix, tape and spackle that and paint it for you, because we did the damage and we take responsibility, so I apologize
right,
for
right.
it. And I sent one of my guys over there and he fixed it. And guess what? They hired us to do a home inspection the other day.
Oh, really, you
and
see?
He said, you guys did a great job on my home inspection, but I was so impressed that you fixed something that you broke when you broke it that I wanted to use you as a home inspector because I felt that you were a responsible person.
How nice.
That's karma.
It was good.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't break things and ignore it and hope somebody doesn't find it. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy. That's bad business. So regardless
of whether they hired
us or not, we were going to fix it.
Yeah, sure.
I paid one of my guys to do it, and he had experience fixing things like that, and apparently he did a nice job, and the people were happy. So that's great.
Hey, Steve.
The easiest way to go.
I have a question more about the pull-down ladder. I thought Gene was going to go there.
No, we're
with
out
this.
Of time for questions.
Okay.
Oh, geez, there you go. Sorry, Tony.
And by the way, okay, we just switched to regular programming.
Now the network.
Great. And by the way, thank you for the advice you gave me several years ago about putting the piece of carpet underneath the legs. I did that, and it works very well. We've always had a problem with our ladder, though, and we had somebody actually try to fix this. Is when you pull it down, it kind of comes up a little bit. And sometimes it comes up too far, and you have to jump off the last three steps because it kind of folds under, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
How do you fix that? I know he was up there with spring. I don't know what he was doing, but he was trying to loosen some stuff or tighten some stuff.
Sometimes the ladder is not the right ladder for that length. And sometimes the springs are pulled too taut. It's hard to say without looking at it. Is it a wooden one?
It's a wooden ladder. It's the right size. I mean, it, you know, comes right down. It's flush with the floor.
It needs a lot of weight to hold
floor.
It down.
Yeah, I mean, when you're standing on it, it's fine. And it comes up a little bit sometimes, but then if you get to the top of the ladder and you know, if you kind of jump off it,
right,
then it'll just kind of spring up. It won't close, but it'll kind of come up with the
bottom. But it'll make it very dangerous to get down.
Well, then you have to try to have somebody either pull that leg out or you have to
right.
jump from, you know, from a couple feet up,
yeah,
which I'm getting a little too old to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you added some weight underneath some of those treads, whether or not that would make a difference on the bottom.
Where the rug is, you mean?
No. What I was thinking is if you were able to put a couple of pieces of metal bar underneath each of the lower three or four steps, whether that added weight would hold it down when it's in the down position.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking of is that I think it would probably have to be a lot of weight, and then it might be really tough to pull down the ladder.
Yeah,
or get it back.
I would do a little experimenting. If you've got any metal, I have some metal stock that are, you know, like a quarter inch or a half inch thick piece of steel that I've used for repairs on the gates and stuff like that. So I've taken a hacksaw and cut a 1 foot length of it and drilled two holes in it and maybe be able to fasten it to the bottom of a couple of those treads and see if you could even put a little bit of weight on the bottom ones and see whether that would make a difference. The problem with altering any of that stuff is that you don't know whether or not it's going to work or not until you try it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is dangerous that it pops back up. It really shouldn't pop back up. The other thing that you might want to try is there is probably a brand stamped on the ladder. And you might want to call that company and say, this is what's happening. Is there some way of adjusting it?
Hmm. Okay.
Because there's only
so
many companies that make those ladders. And if you don't have a brand on it, let me tell you how you can find out anyway. You could go to Lowe's or Home Depot and go take the brand off one of the new packages.
I don't understand.
Call that company and tell them, this is what I'm experiencing. How do I fix that? And there's probably a way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've climbed many of them over the years, and the worst ones are the ones that are a full staircase that you push up into the attic, and it comes sliding down when you pull down the door. And if you're not careful, some of these things will knock you right off your feet.
Jeez.
I like the ones that fold, but my favorites are the aluminum ones.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's yeah. good.
I mean, otherwise, it's a great ladder. It's great to get up to walk into the attic. It's very nice that way. It's just that sometimes if you're alone, you're kind of afraid to go up there, and you're wondering if the thing's going to snap up and trap you up there.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do it unless my daughter's there. You know, because just for my own safety.
Yeah, well,
and
make sure your cell phone is in your pocket.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Good advice.
I always think about that, yep.
You know, as I'm thinking about it, you know what an eye hook looks like?
Yeah.
It is possible that when you unfold it, you could snap an eye hook on each side of the bottom length so that it can't fold.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
You know what I'm thinking?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I think
On both rails.
Yeah.
If you put an eye hook on each side and you snap that eye hook in, then it couldn't fold under without putting stress on the eye hook.
Hmm. Wow.
There might be a way mechanically to fix it as well. I'm getting a lot more creative as I get older because of the chicken coop. I've made all kinds of crazy things that, I've cut doors in half in order to have the Dutch door, and I've put windows in the doors by cutting out a square and then putting hinges on the piece that I cut out, and eye hooks to latch the doors closed, and then putting hardware cloth on the inside so that the birds can't fly out the window when I have the window open. Getting very creative.
Mm-hmm. Time for a break.
All right, you're listening to Around the House.
If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy, they also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the window people. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The window people do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call.
And now back to Steve Gladstone and Around the House.
Yeah, I don't want to be that tied to these numbers. I really don't. It's bad enough that I'm worried. You know, I'm trying to get places on time or ahead of time, and make sure that my students have breaks. And lunch goes by very quickly. All of a sudden, I realize it's 1:30. I haven't let them go yet. That kind of stuff is okay. But how many beats that my heart has, and how many active moments, and how many steps I take each day? I don't want to know how many steps I take.
Yeah, you know, I've got that on
more than I should be.
Yeah, my phone has that on it too. You know, it tells me how many steps I did this week or whatever it is. You know, it's like I'd rather know what am I going to have for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need
like
to know how many.
I need to know what I'm going to have for dinner.
What's that?
Because my wife asked me about 6:30. Well, what do you want? And at that point, I've already lost interest in making decisions. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. Whatever.
Like, what have we got? What can we mix together that'll be okay?
I can't. I'm not into it enough. I like to eat, but choosing what I'm going to eat.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Sometimes I don't even like looking at the menu. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we have a unique setup with my daughter. She's learning to cook, and she's doing really well, and she's doing, you know, it's great, making some great things. I don't like to cook, but I do not mind cleaning up.
Okay.
You know, washing, you know, the dishes or whatever, you know, put them in the dishwasher, whatever. And she goes, oh, I left you some dishes because I know how much you like to clean them. Well, gee, thanks a lot. It's not that I'd like to clean them. It's just that it doesn't bother me to do that. And I'd rather do that than have to make something.
So it's
a great, you know, it's synergy. It's great.
The celebrities that I did an inspection for 2 days ago, the wife said that the husband, who is a very well-known comedic actor, said that he likes to do the laundry.
Well, there you go.
And
sure.
more power to him. They've got two kids, and he likes to do the laundry, so she gave that job to him.
Great.
You know, there are a lot of people who just enjoy the fact that they're able to get the clothing clean.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That it's a process. And I never minded. I mean, I worked in a lot of restaurants when I was younger. I never minded washing pots. I never minded pulling the Brillo out and cleaning.
Right.
Things. And I always, you know, when there's a holiday or there's a big group of people, I'll clear the table and I'll do some of the dishes and stuff. I don't mind that stuff.
Yeah.
I worked in the Marine dining room at Jones Beach, and you would not believe how many dishes I cleaned.
Wow.
How many hot dogs and hamburgers I served. And my brother was on the grill. I was in the dish room. There were benefits to working in that place, and there was a lot of disadvantages to working.
Oh, obviously.
But I worked almost every one of the concessions at Jones Beach, from Fire Island to the West Bathhouse to the Marine Dining Room to the softball field at Zacks Bay. I worked in all of those concessions.
Wow.
And I think at the height of my career, I was making about $1.65 an hour.
Boy, you were lucky.
Yeah. But the view there was excellent.
Yeah.
You know, there were girls galore.
Yep.
I was 17, 18 years old, and it was, we would hitchhike out to the beach each morning, and we would go to work, and we'd be exhausted by the end of the night, but we met a lot of people, and it was a fun place to work.
A lot of fun, yeah.
So, I don't know if I ever asked you a question. I asked this question of Harold once.
Mm-hmm.
What's a mellow roll?
What's
a mellow roll.
A mellow roll.
We used to sell billions of them. Mellow rolls. M-E-L-L-O roll.
I don't think I've even heard of that before. I don't know.
Tony, do you remember?
Sounds like a jelly-filled crepe or something. I don't know.
No.
What was the name of it again?
Mellow roll. We should let somebody call in and win a prize.
Mellow roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Mellow yellow, I've heard of.
Not yellow. Mellow.
Mellow.
Made by Borden's.
Really? A mellow roll.
What is it?
We sold tons of them. Anybody want to call in? 203-661-5051. 203-661-5051. You might get a tape measure.
Or a bucket of mellow rolls, one of the two.
No, I don't even know if they're around anymore.
All right. Would you know?
Speaking of things from a long time ago, I think Adventureland is opening up.
Where?
In Farmingdale.
It's opening up?
Yeah.
You mean just in general?
Yeah. I mean, well, they're opening for the season. I guess right. They were closed last year because of COVID, but they're back.
Now, that was on Hempstead Turnpike in the corner of Levittown and, what would it be there, Bethpage?
Yeah. Now, were they closed down?
I don't know.
It says a long-awaited reopening of Adventureland. The amusement park's newest ride, the Sports Tower, was ready for its debut in 2020.
Where does it say that's located?
Well, the slug is Farmingdale.
Where
my uncle
so
used to live.
So it's on Farmingdale, on the edge of Farmingdale. I used to work in Farmingdale. But that was the first place where I actually went on a kiddie roller coaster and showed off with my hands up in the air. Because I hate roller coasters.
Yeah. Wasn't there one like that also? It wasn't a roller coaster, but it was a place. Was it on the way to LaGuardia?
Castle.
Or
well, there was. No, you're talking about.
Was it like Adventureland, something like that?
Freedomland.
No, there was Freedomland, but there was a place. It wasn't like. Yeah, I had a couple of rides. It was a place to
it's
eat.
It's where Co-op City is now, right?
Was,
yeah, that's where Co-op City is now. This was further in.
It was near where that bridge is that you cross on the...
the Hutch?
Connecticut. I'm trying to remember the exit name. But yeah, there was a play area there and a golf driving range.
Was it New York or was it in Connecticut?
It
was New York, because I know there was a place where it was like, aside from adventure, there was a place called that. It was on the way to the airport, but it wasn't where all the Co-op City is now. It was another place. It was more of an eatery.
Where Co-op City is was Freedom Land.
Right.
That only lasted a couple of years.
2 years, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
That was a fun place.
203-661-5051, if you know what a mellow roll was. We're already giving people lots of time to look it up on their phones. I wonder if I could find that out.
I looked it up. I didn't get anything.
Nothing at all.
No, I got mellow yellow.
Really?
Mellow roll. No. Wow. Imagine that Google didn't have it.
Really?
I did a Wikipedia, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'm tired of Google.
Well, if it's still around, I'll bet you Amazon has it.
I'm sure it's not still around.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those old type of things to eat.
So is it an ice cream?
Yes.
That's what's coming up. Elsie the cow. It's a Borden. Yes. It's a Borden thing then, right?
It was Borden. I said it was Borden.
Yeah.
I still don't remember that. But I don't remember.
This reminds me of those, the Bob Maxwell walkaway cones they used to have at the Danbury Fair Mall. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mellow Row.
You remember?
I believe it was ice cream.
Yeah. In what shape?
Round, 3 inches.
It was a cylinder.
Excuse me?
It was a cylinder that was wrapped with paper, and you'd take the paper off of it, and it went into a special sugar cone that was able to hold this 2.5 or 3 inch wide cylinder laying down in the cone.
Yeah, I must have been fed that at one time or another.
It was what?
I must have consumed that.
I'm sure that you did, because we sold gazillions of them at the beach, because it was a very easy thing to get boxes of them in a freezer, and then when someone wanted one, we just handed them the packaged cone. We handed them a cone, and we handed them the packaged ice cream, and then they would unroll it and put it right into the cone.
Well, maybe it should be resurrected.
I don't know. I thought that was a brilliant idea, they were very popular. We sold a lot of that stuff at the beach. So
check that out.
If you want a tape measure, let Tony put you on hold, and he'll take your address. And at some point in the distant future, we will drop something off at your house.
I'll remember you for something.
I'm gonna put you on hold, caller, if we can do this without putting everybody on hold. We're going to put everybody on hold, but we'll get Steve back, and go ahead, Steve, and I'll pick up with the caller.
Okay. All right. So the Mellow Roll. I'm going to look it up on that and see if there's a picture of it somewhere on the internet. But it had a picture of Elsie the cow on it, and it was a Borden product. And I don't know if it exists. I've never seen it in the last 50 years. But we sold a lot of them. We sold some interest.
Sounds great.
We sold clam chowder. Bowls of clam chowder. We sold hot dogs.
Like I'm not a chowder guy.
Oh, I like clam chowder. I would. You know, one of these days I'm going to go to that Chowder Fest and just do a tasting all day long of clam chowder. Like, my father used to bring my brother and I to Lundy's in Sheepshead Bay, and we would have clams on the half shell, and he would take delight in the fact that my brother and I would just glom them down. We loved them. And Every fire department picnic and thing that we had on Long Island, Connecticut, we... are you still there, Gene?
I'm still here. Yeah, I'm looking up Mellor Roll. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Bob Maxwell walkaway cones at the Danbury Fair Mall? It's the same thing, except they had chocolate on them.
Well, I don't remember those.
Chocolate, no. Or these could be chocolate and vanilla. They were different.
Well, I mean, they had chocolate, like a chocolate syrup on top.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Now, by the way, you did misspeak with one thing, though.
What's that?
I just have to point out, you mentioned it was a sugar roll.
No, it was a sugar
cone.
Cone.
It said the Mellor Roll cone was the waffle variety,
right?
Not the sugar cone, which was crunchy.
Well, look it up on Google. I'm looking at it.
Okay.
And it was a yellow color.
Yeah, it was a yellowish color. It was nothing fancy.
No.
It was just unique in its shape because it was able to hold the cylinder.
Right.
It was a hard ice cream. So it wasn't something that we were scooping. We were just simply taking it out of the box and handing it to people. And then they would put it in the cone, or we would put it in the cone, depending on health requirements and stuff like that.
And there's a bunch of them. If you go to Google and look up Mellor Roll,
yeah.
MellorRoll.
Yeah. Look up the Bob Maxwell, Gene.
All right, I will.
And that's kind of the same thing.
Well, if it had chocolate on it, then they just opened it and they put chocolate on top of it. Was it hard chocolate, like when they dip the cone at Dairy Queen?
Oh, and then it freezes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. They would get the cone came, I mean, the ice cream came in the cone. I'm not sure if it was chocolate. It might have been half chocolate, half vanilla.
Okay.
And then they would dip it. It would harden, and Bob Maxwell walkaway.
Cool.
They called it, and they were huge.
You know, I really missed the Danbury Fair. Yeah. I went to
me too.
It was really a good time. It was always difficult to get there. We had to go the long way around to get there. Sometimes we went 287, sometimes we went 123, you know, and then Route 7 or roundabout ways. But that was always a fun adventure. And now the United House Wrecking has closed. So even some of the remnants from the Danbury Fair are gone, or are going to be gone very shortly, because they're building some kind of storage place over there. So it's going to be different.
Oh, they're like a public storage thing?
Yeah, I think there's going to be another one over there. There's already one on Hope Street. There's going to be another one. It seems to be a popular disease, all of us... keeping stuff.
Yeah. They're building one in Norwalk.
Budget blinds. Andrew Bogdan's budget blinds of Stamford, Greenwich, Norwalk, Rowate, and Darien, New Canaan. More towns than you might think. He sells all types of window treatments. And if you have just bought a house and you need window treatments, or you're living in your house and you're window treatments are dated and you're ready for some changes, he's the guy to call. If you call him, it's 203-580-3362. And he sells automated blinds, draperies, all kinds of window plantation blinds. If you're looking for insulation on your windows, if you're looking for beauty on your windows, if you're looking for safety on your windows, you want to put stuff in your kids' rooms. You don't have to worry about strings for the operators. He's got the ones to go in bathrooms that are not going to get moldy. You've got ones that go up, ones that comes down, ones that go in both directions. And the way that you're going to make those choices is he's going to come to your house and show you all the different types that he's got. And you pick what you want, you pick the colors you want, they carefully measure where it's going to go, and when it arrives, Victor shows up and he installs it and then cleans up after himself. What more could you ask for? So you get style, you get affordable pricing, and you get a five-year, no-questions-asked warranty. And all you need to do is call them at 203-580-3362. 203-580-3362, Budget Blinds, And please tell him that you heard about it on Around the House. No! Okay, we'll be right back.
If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533. 203-540-1533. Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533. And now here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Wait a minute. That was me.
I was wondering who that was. It says Steve, and I said, this is different Steve.
That's me.
Well.
Wow. I did my own promo.
Wow.
It only took you 3 takes.
Very energetic.
No.
And you misspelled your name, I think, that time, didn't you? Was that the one?
I got to give a tip of the week. So
okay.
My tip of the week for this week is in regard to circuit breakers and fuses. And fuses protect your electrical system from overloading. One too many appliances drawing electricity can cause the wires to overheat. And without fuses or a circuit breaker, they can start a fire inside the walls. Replacing blown fuses with fuses of the correct amperage is very important. And when you're doing it, make sure that you unplug one or more appliances on that circuit before you change them. Most people have upgraded from fuses to circuit breakers, but there's still a lot of fuses out there. And the big danger with fuses is that people, when the 15s blow, they'll put a 20 in there to avoid it from blowing again. And then when the 20 blows, they'll put a 30 in there. And the bottom line is, every time a fuse blows, it's because things are getting too hot. And if you keep increasing the amperage on those fuses, what's going to happen is eventually the insulation on the wires are going to get so hot that it's going to melt the insulation and you're going to have a house fire. So make sure if you still have fuses in your house, you buy the right size and you have some extras on hand so that when you need to change a fuse, you have the right size. Also, using an electrical tester is a good idea to make sure that when you're testing something or you're doing any kind of wiring, you can check to make sure that a little neon light will light up on the tester where you can touch the hot and the neutral and see if something is live. And every once in a while, make sure that the tester is working because it could fool you if you've got a broken tester. And then the last hint is having an inexpensive flashlight with a battery next to your fuse box is always a good idea, or your circuit breaker box, so that if the power goes out, there's a flashlight nearby so that you can see what's going on in the panel box to figure out which fuse or which circuit breaker is off. That's my tip of the week, and if you're hearing this during the week, tune in to us on Saturday mornings for Around the House with Steve Gladstone.
That's a great thing about having a battery, you know, a searchlight next to the breaker box. Never thought of that.
Well, a lot of these have magnets on them now. And so you can just have something sitting right next to the panel box that you can grab. I actually have one. It makes a little bit more sense for me because I have to go down to the basement. I have a flashlight that's sitting right at the top of the stairs. So as you go down the steps, you grab the flashlight, so you're not down the steps in the dark. And every once in a while, I change the batteries in that flashlight so that I know that they're fresh and that the flashlight's going to work. The other alternative is these rechargeable night lights that you can plug into outlets nearby. I have a generator, so it's not usually a problem, but, you know, we have all these different LEDs now that don't draw a lot of electricity that can turn on when the power is off, or in a dark area can turn on if it's just dark, that are quite inexpensive. And I'm always advising people to look to see how many of the lights in your house are incandescent bulbs and change them out to LEDs. And the LEDs last much, much longer. And now, a lot of these lighting fixtures come with a switch on them, so it can be white light or it can be yellow light, so that you don't have it being too bright, but you have the kind of lighting that you want. And many of these are dimmable now, so they don't flash when you have a dimmer on. They can actually be dimmed down so that they'll give you pleasant light for different experiences. There are also ones that are different colors that you can actually program the colors. So Bryce likes to tell Alexa to make the living room blue, and all of a sudden all the lights in the living room are blue. So there's a lot of innovations now that are very good. And also, if you are listening and you have a commercial space, there are incentives now from Eversource. We're doing it at the firehouse right now. We're changing out all of the light fixtures in the engine room to LEDs. New fixtures to make the bays where the fire engines are a lot brighter. And Eversource is paying a piece of that energy upgrade, which is going to save us. They've made the calculation. It's going to save the budget about $400 a year.
Wow.
That could be better spent on other things.
Boy, no kidding. That's great. Yeah, I just threw out some bulbs because, you know, where am I going to use them? I don't have them. Everything is LEDs, which I love. And I have a dimmer on mine. You know, there's one of those that's on my desk, and it's nice because I can adjust it.
Right.
And it's great. It's great.
No, I think LEDs have really changed a lot of things. I've been using LEDs for the train set as well. For all these little houses and stuff like that, I'll put a couple of little LEDs inside the houses. It uses, like, no electricity, and they don't get hot, where for years people used to put little bulbs, little incandescent bulbs in, and those things, they do get hot. They got to turn them off after a while. But the LEDs have really made a big difference as far as under-counter lighting. Very easy to put strip lights underneath the railings on your deck. Very easy to put bulbs in existing fixtures that were LEDs. The problem is very often dimming. Many of the old dimmers allow a certain amount of electricity to go through the dimmer. And what happens is it activates the LEDs and they blink. So you need an LED-friendly dimmer if you're going to be using LED bulbs in certain instances. And you'll know right away because instead of it dimming, the lighting in one of my bedrooms upstairs the lights would not go off because there was enough electricity to keep it on dimly.
Well, I had the dimmers. Mine would flicker.
Right.
And if you look at it long enough, you're back in the 60s, you know.
Yeah.
And,
that's the problem. The dimmer allows just enough electricity to get through that it's
right.
allowing the light to turn on and then turn off and then turn on and turn off.
Right, exactly.
So people think that there's something broken. There's nothing broken. It's just that you need to upgrade the dimmer. And then when they find out that dimmers are $30 to $50 a piece, they go, oh, my God, maybe I'll just put a light switch.
Yeah. And, it's great, though. I mean, look what LEDs have done with cars. All your headlights, all your taillights, that's why they have these. If you look at the taillights of a car, look at the design of the light. Because it gives them much more flexibility to make, you know, art out of the backside of your car.
Problem is when those lenses break, they cost $300.
Those lenses in the front are killer, absolutely.
The thing is that the power consumption is much less.
Right.
All of us have gone through leaving a light on in the car and having the battery be dead.
Right.
You know what? That doesn't happen as much with LEDs because they're not drawing that much electricity. And, yes, it allows them to be more creative with shapes and designs, but also it's a much brighter light, and you don't have to change the bulbs.
Right.
And what I've experienced with cars over the last couple of years is if you had to change a bulb, you could barely get your hand in that place.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
So
it was terrible.
With the LED fixtures, you'll probably never have to change a light bulb.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably not good for the light bulb companies, but, you know, they have to adapt, too.
Oh, they'll always find, you know, ways to make it
something,
you know, for something, yeah, some useful, you know, item that they'll be selling, and, they'll deal with it.
But those of us with some age under our belts, you know, we remember buying Prestone to flush out the radiator and antifreeze, and we remember changing bulbs and headlight bulbs and you know, all of this stuff that is non-existent anymore.
And have a flashlight or two in the car, and then you need it, and you turn it on, and the batteries are dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have enough time to talk about it. I bought these flashers that are LEDs that you can use instead of a flare. And they're magnetic, so you can put them on the back of your car. If your car breaks down, you can just turn these things on, and they'll flash for days, and at least give you a little bit more protection. And they're not expensive. You can find them at the big box stores, and makes it a lot safer if you break down. But the truth is, a lot of people are not breaking down anymore.
Yeah, true. Very true. The cars are extremely well-made. And, you know, computers changed everything.
They really have.
Yeah. No more analog, which was a pain in the neck. But boy, I often wonder, what's next after LEDs? What more do you need? But I'm sure there will be something.
Well, maybe we'll talk about whatever is new next week.
Yeah, okay.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope that this was a good experience for you. And we'll see everybody next week. Stay well. Get your shots if you haven't had them yet. And have a great week.